Hello everyone. Welcome to this episode of Intellectual Property 101. I am Tushar Bhargav, your host and founder of Markaz, an intellectual property firm in India. In this episode, we have Ms. Lata Nair, partner at K&S Partners, with us. In this episode, we will talk about geographical indications.
Intellectual Property 101 with Tushar.
Thank you, ma'am, for coming on the show. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, just to begin, can you please explain what is geographical indication for laymen?
So, for a layman, a geographical indication simply helps identify a product of origin. He may not know where exactly the product comes from or how it is made, but he would surely know that it has a specific geographical origin, that it is different from products of the same type in quality or characteristics, and expects that the same quality and or characteristics for that product that he has encountered before or heard about.
Okay, so why should someone go for geographical indication registration?
So, I would amend that question a little bit to ask what are the benefits of enforcing a GI registration. Because enforcement would mean that the administering body of the GI would ensure that the specifications which are listed in the register are adhered to, fakes in the market are addressed, violators are punished and consumers are protected against fakes. So enforcement is the key word in a country like India, which seems to have a lot of geographical indication, and mere registration is not sufficient. Now, there are several benefits in registering and enforcing a GI. The first and the foremost is that the registration helps preserve the uniqueness of the GI if the GI is enforced in terms of its use after the registration. Then a registration assures that the consumers assures the consumers that the product in question is authentic. And a registration coupled with enforcement also helps to enhance the premium of a product branded as a GI. Then, if you're speaking legally, statutorily, you know, looking at it from the point of view of the GI Act, it also gives the right to act against infringement.
Okay. So, as per my understanding, geographical indication is given to the product which is famous and cannot be replicated because of the region where you found, where you find that particular product. So, what is the point of registering and spending some amount there when you know that, you know, that particular product cannot be replicated?
So, again, I would say, I mean, GIs are not granted to a product which is famous. But GIs are granted to a product whose characteristics, qualities or reputation are essentially attributable to a geographical origin. So the element geographical origin is very important because GIs are essentially rooted in a geography. The GI need not be famous, rather the product need not be famous, but should have a reputation either local or global. For instance, if I tell you about a product called Valais Rye Bread, would you know that it is a protected geographical indication?
No, not really.
But if I mention the same thing to a French or a Swiss or a European national, there are very good chances that he or she would recognize that as a uniquely flavored bread made with rye produced in the mountain province of Valais in Switzerland. So, it doesn't have to be really famous. It just has to have a reputation either local or global. Now, your question regarding the need to register. The world is jurisprudentially divided as civil law and common law countries. In civil law countries, registered rights are recognized. Whereas in common law countries, a GI can be protected based on proof of reputation enjoyed by the same. For instance, there were to be a misappropriation of the name Basmati in UK, which is a common law country, and UK, as you know, has a lot of ethnic Indian population. So, and Basmati obviously enjoys great reputation there because it has a lot of Indian restaurants and Indian food is very a lot more popular than other European countries, than European countries in the UK. So if even if we don't have a registration there, we can enforce it by producing proof of that reputation, because that's the difference between a civil law and a common law country. So in such countries, common law countries, registration merely serves as another proof of protection. And now India, as we're talking, is a common law country, and Section 22 of our GI Act already recognizes that unregistered rights in a GI can be protected through a passing of action. But if there's a registration, as I said, it serves as a prima facie proof of protection of a GI.
If someone wants to register a particular GI, so how should they go about it? What would you recommend? Filing of application on their own or through an attorney?
I mean, as a lawyer, I would say through an attorney, because an expert's job must be done by an expert.
Okay. So also, when I was researching about geographical indication, a lot of people think that geographical indications is not a form of intellectual property, because of the simple fact that, you know, intellectual property is something which comes, which is there when you use your intellect or something, you know, something related to your intellect. However, it is not the case with geographical indication. So do you agree with this?
I don't, because the agreement on trade related aspects of intellectual property rights, the TRIPS agreement, recognizes GIs as an intellectual property. An entire section 3 with three articles therein is devoted to geographical indication. So today, whatever be the interpretation or you know, the meaning of what intellectual is, you know, you have to go by what the TRIPS agreement is, because, you know, we are members of the WTO, we are bound by it, and, you know, that's a commonly accepted thing as of today.
Okay. Also, geographical indications provide exclusive rights for using the name of a particular region. For example, Bikaneri Bhujia, Darjeeling Tea. This geographical name distinguishes this registered product from those unregistered product or those trying to imitate the particular product. Now, trademark is anything which helps in distinguishing a product from similar products. So is there any relation between trademark and geographical indication?
I would say that trademark and GIs are both intellectual property rights, but conceptually both differ. So I would list a few differences. While a trademark denotes the commercial origin, a GI denotes the geographical origin. While a trademark is a private monopoly right, GI is a collective community right. While a trademark can be adopted and or used overnight, a GI can only be gradually recognized over a period of time. There is no overnight adoption and use in the case of a GI. Then while trademarks can be assigned, GI being a collective right cannot be assigned at all. And another difference would be, while goods branded as trademarks can be produced anywhere in the world as the proprietor wishes, the production of goods branded as GIs is limited to the specific region from where the GI originates. So there are these basic, so although they might look like, they are same, but there is something that is similar about them, because consumers identify certain sources. One is a commercial source and other is a geographical source. And if you see, a GI and a trademark is joined together, I mean, used together on GI products. For instance, Teacher's Scotch Whiskey, Lal Killa Basmati Rice, Lipton Darjeeling Tea. So the trademark and the GI are used in conjunction.
As per the data given on the website of IP India, there are about only 282 geographical indications have been registered. That is still, that data was taken on 30th November 2016. So do you think that things are going in the right direction and people are getting more aware?
I would put it this way. I would say, you know, as a country that is relatively new to GI protection, we should ask ourselves a few questions. So the first question is whether there's a positive and apparent change in the production and consumption of goods branded as GIs ever since India has started to register GIs. Secondly, I would ask how many GIs and their producers have really benefited from the GI protection process under our Act. as a consumer, when you go out to the market, that's the third question, do you have an assurance that the product that you're buying, which you believe to be a GI product, is indeed produced as per the specifications in the register? Is there any such assurance? Do you always find products in the market offered as GIs with the tag and correct labeling? If I were to ask these questions in the European context, all the questions will be yes. I'm not sure if, you know, I can give a yes to any of these questions. Because, you know, the biggest problem is that our GI Act has a big flaw, and that it has no provisions relating to, you know, ensuring quality control. And, you know, any jurisdiction, if you look at it, that has had a successful history of GI protection has quality control as the hallmark of GI protection process. Without quality control, the question whether a Pashmina shawl that you found in a shop in Lajpat Nagar is indeed Pashmina shawl cannot be answered. So there are many aspects to quality control that span the stages of pre-registration, registration and post-registration of a GI. Currently, our Act puts the cart before the horse, in my opinion, when it comes to quality control. And it really is time to amend the law and make quality control the fulcrum of any GI protection. Otherwise, we are diluting the whole concept of a GI in our country. I mean, of course, we have an Act and there are a lot of registrations that are being done. But I think currently the perception of a GI owner is that the moment I get registered, you know, it's done. You know, it's not a magic wand.
So now coming to your personal side of your career, I mean, personal life, would you like to share why did you choose to specialize in intellectual property laws?
I think IP was a subject of interest from my law school days. So, I mean, that's the only reason that I can say.
And would you like to share any hilarious or any standout moment in your career?
I mean, I was thinking hard about it, but I mean, one thing that comes to my mind is in 2005 or 6, I had gone to Lucknow to speak at an event organized by an industry body. It was an IP event. So I was asked to speak on GIs, and they had invited a local politician who belonged to a anti-WTO party to inaugurate, I mean, the party obviously had anti-WTO sentiments, and he was asked to inaugurate the workshop. And this man, you know, when he stood up to give his inaugural speech, he started, I mean, it was all in Hindi, and he started saying that I will not bless this conference, and WTO is an evil thing, and TRIPS is an evil thing, and we should not bring it on to ourselves, and this conference, I do not wish it any success. And I mean, I just found, yes, and I just found it very immature, and I mean, today see where we are. So...
Is like any advice for young lawyers and law students who want to specialize in intellectual property rights?
I think IP practice is very interesting, and I mean, be it trademarks, patents, GIs, copyright, it touches every aspect of your life. And you know, if you're an IP lawyer, the chances are that you will learn something about the making of everything. You know, be it potato chips or batteries or anything, you would learn something. It's a very, very interesting field. It may not be as lucrative as a corporate practice, because IP practice, the you know, fee structures are very different from corporate practice. But I mean, I think once you get into IP, it's very, very interesting.
And since you're practicing law, you started practicing in 1994, and which is about 23 years. So have you seen any change in terms of awareness among the people for intellectual property?
I mean, earlier when I used to tell people that I'm an intellectual property lawyer, they used to think it's something to do with real estate, and they used to give me suspicious looks. But now when you say you're an IP lawyer, there is some respectful looks that is given to you. But I think jokes apart, I think from 1998, I actually started my IP practice only in 1998. From 98, there definitely is a remarkable difference in the sense that, you know, even companies are becoming aware. And, you know, a lot of industry bodies are doing a lot of things in the IP field. So there definitely is a lot of awareness among not only the public, but you know, even among the companies and the trade, there is a lot of awareness about it. So definitely there is a change.
Can you pinpoint, like, can you pinpoint that because of certain reasons, like, exactly, do you think is that, that particular change is because of a particular reason?
So I'll give you one example. You know, earlier Indian companies never used to register their trademarks overseas, except for a few. You know, like a Tata or a Birla, you won't find. Now you find a lot of, you know, small companies, startup companies, which are becoming bigger. You know, let's say like a Zomato. You know, you will find them because they are, because of the, you know, internet and the technological advancements, it is a necessity for them to protect their marks, you know, in overseas jurisdictions. So, I mean, I would say it's probably the technological advancement and the advancement in the you know, cyber world. Things have changed even for trademark owners. And I'm sure patents is a different story. But for trademarks and, you know, copyrights, things have definitely changed. So.
And the last question, since the whole idea of this podcast is to bring awareness among the masses and make people aware of the importance of intellectual property rights, so how do you think that this can be achieved?
I think Facebook, social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, because, I mean, that's what today's world is relying on. And I don't think there's any youngster who's not checked his or her Facebook. I mean, news streams into Facebook. I read all my news on Facebook. I don't get time to read newspaper. So I've, you know, that's how I get to know at least something that's happening around the world. So I think social media is a great platform to spread it.
Okay. So thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you so much for sparing some time and agreeing to come on this podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Intellectual Property 101 with Tushar.